Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Undiscovered Worlds. I'm Ryan. Over there is Maria. And guys, today's show is going to be all about Thanksgiving. If you guys have watched this before, you know the way that this goes. Basically, Maria and I pick a topic. We scour the internet for all the fun things that we can find, put them on a piece of paper, bring them on over here. All right, it's not a piece of paper. It's actually a Word document, but still.
We're thankful for that.
Yes, we're thankful for that. So we bring them over here, and we just kind of go back and forth and back and forth and share some stories and some of the stuff we found and have a fun conversation. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Mar, do you want to kick us off?
I will kick you off with Macy's Parade.
Okay.
Macy's Parade, the Thanksgiving Macy's Parade was really cool because in the past, okay, now you see it and it's fantastic and balloons and stuff. But in the past, they actually used to have animals from the Central Zoo and they will be part of the parade. But the problem is sometimes the animals will roar or make a noise and children will start crying. So they decided to replace it with balloons.
Okay. Okay. I actually had found some stuff too about that. Let me see. Let me scroll down. I wasn't at the top of my list, but
okay.
Basically, yeah, started 1924, and it was a promotional event for the shopping season, which is it's Macy's. Macy's is still around, ever so slightly. And the first balloon was actually Felix the Cat, and for the first few years, from 27 to 1933. They would actually just release the balloons up into the air after the whole thing was done. And then the balloons would come down and they had little tickets in them. And you could basically exchange them for prizes if you found the ticket. So it was kind of like a Willy Wonka slash balloons slash animals. It was kind of this whole mishmash of stuff at the beginning, which was
really I saw cool. That. I thought that was so incredible how they, I mean, environmentally not very friendly.
Mm-hmm. And the way they did it, they have valves on the balloons, so they actually could like set the valves to where they would intentionally leak air, because the Macy's balloons aren't like the rubber balloons that we have, where if it's in a room for a week and a half, eventually it's going to lose its helium and it's going to end up on the ground. Like, those balloons are very thick. So they actually had a valve in them where they would intentionally release air so they would eventually come back down. I had read, too, that there was like they stopped releasing the balloons because in 1932, one got wrapped around an airplane's wing and it sent it into a tailspin. luckily, there were no fatalities in the accident, but basically that's why they stopped releasing the balloons.
Wow. Well, I'm glad everybody was okay. We're thankful for that.
Yes. But I'm going to start wherever Thanksgiving should start. With the food, of course. It has to start with the food.
I started party hardy, and you're like, oh, let's go with the food.
Yeah, well, see, this was interesting to me, because we're not going to start with the good food. We're going to start with the fact that in 1953, Swanson misjudged how many frozen turkeys they were going to sell by 26 tons. Someone got the bright idea to slice them up and put some sides with them. And basically, that's how the first TV dinner was born, everybody. Too much Thanksgiving turkey. Someone needed to use it, decided to keep it frozen, put some sides on it. And as of 1953, TV dinners, you're welcome.
I tell you one thing. I love how different mistakes, mishaps, mismeasurements allow for other inventions to come out that were better. In ancient Egypt, we were talking about, we did a video about ancient Egypt, and we're talking about healing and stuff like that. And one of the things they were talking about is they left some bread out and they will actually stuff it on people, like molded bread, for healing wounds. Well, mm-hmm. If we know healing wounds or penicillin was found because of a fungus that was formed on bread. So it's very interesting how these mishaps lead to something incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And TV dinners, in my opinion, are one of the best things.
They're not incredible. See, that's where you lost me a little bit. You're talking about all these amazing things we found and all these incredible new inventions. And I'm going, where is she going to tie this to? Because Swanson TV dinners before, that she's going to tie these two together.
I like them. I mean, I'll take them to work.
Okay. All right. What do you got next, Mar?
Okay, so there was a raccoon named Rebecca who lived in the White House. And Rebecca was supposed to be Thanksgiving meal. This was in 1926. President Coolidge. What?
You said raccoon.
A raccoon.
So that
a raccoon.
They were going to make a Thanksgiving meal out of a raccoon.
Yes. Named Rebecca. Yes. Okay. But they fell in love with Rebecca and it became a pet. And she actually became part of the family. They will see Mr. Coolidge walking her and in a leash around the White House.
I didn't know raccoons were like a meal. That was the part that was almost more surprising to me than
it was supposed to be eaten in 1926.
Okay. All right. I was going to actually start with this fact. So everybody thought this entire episode was going to be about Canadian Thanksgiving. I just thought that would be fun. But the Canadian Thanksgiving actually predates the American Thanksgiving by like 43 years. And most people kind of know that Thanksgiving is actually basically it's a harvest festival. But the date was picked just for practicality purposes, and I'll get to that later at some point. But basically, the Canadians celebrate theirs on the second Monday of October because that's when all the harvesting is done. When you're talking about the end of October or even into, you know, November's and stuff like that, that's not harvest season anymore.
So.
They started their celebrations about 43 years before ours, and they just celebrate it much earlier because it still sticks closer to that harvest festival celebration.
And I thought they said somewhere they were trying to do Thanksgiving twice. I can't remember the fact about it. I read it somewhere that Thanksgiving was supposed to be, they wanted to like do it twice a year and it just didn't work. Something like that, that they were trying to do.
I did not see that fact. So,
okay. So I have some real Thanksgiving food.
Okay.
When Quanto took pity on the pilgrims, we're talking about a long time ago, he actually helped them how to live off the land. And he taught them how to hunt. And that include spearing eels. So eels were part of that tradition of the hunting or the pilgrims with the natives working with them, and he taught them how to keep them good during cold weather, how to curled up in muddy areas during cold weather. Like, he helped them a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So Massasoit, the feast made when the pilgrims made peace with the leader Massasoit tribe. And was a feast of eels. So that was one of those first Thanksgiving celebrations they had, not necessarily on those dates that now we kind of talk about, but it was part of that feast. And hunting of eel is also backed up by pilgrim accounts. So instead of cranberries, the first Thanksgivings will have probably been featured a second helping of eel.
Okay.
Just make sure grandma has that in her cookbook.
So do you guys, if you ever go and try to research Thanksgiving, there's always a lot of articles written about, oh, it was this or it was that, or was the funny thing is we really don't know. We don't even know exactly really when the first Thanksgiving even was, because the pilgrims, they were basically trying to seek religious freedom away from England, which is why they came to the United States, the Americas at that point in time. But they had feasts for any time they got together. It was a communal activity more than anything else. And then it was to give thanks for something. So these took place several times per year for several reasons, harvests and other things. So it's really hard to pin down, well, what was the first Thanksgiving? The one that we think of with the Indians definitely wasn't the first one. That was just more of the making peace one, which clearly there had to be some confrontation for you to then need to make peace. So the pilgrims were around for years before what we think of as that image of Thanksgiving. So it is really hard to kind of figure out, well, what did they eat or where were they? When was it? What year was it? What time of year? Because it kind of evolved, as most things do. But the only thing they can really verify for sure is that one of the first Thanksgivings, that deer probably was the only guaranteed thing that was part of the meal, because they were so plentiful and that was the main meat source, that no matter when it was or what year or the situation, that really, if you're going to pick an original Thanksgiving food, probably deer would be your best bet.
Exactly. And also deer is widespread in the United States. Mm-hmm. So for sure, a deer will be something that the natives will have taught the pilgrims to hunt, or they will have figured out on their own.
Yeah. And they were farmers. They wouldn't have been able to survive. And they didn't interact in a kind way with the natives for years. So the natives never taught the pilgrims how to survive. They didn't teach them how to do a lot of this stuff that sometimes, as the story evolves, we give them credit for. The pilgrims wouldn't have just showed up and had zero skills, because back then you needed to know how to farm to survive in England where they were coming from.
Exactly.
That's kind of where the story gets mishmash. So when you read articles, that's what made this so interesting for me as a topic, was trying to peel out, all right, well, that sounds like a good article, but, and then digging down to like, okay, what do we actually know? And once you start reading the articles where people go, well, what we know is that we don't really know anything. Those are the ones that I kind of gave credence to. I was like, okay, let me see what else you have to say on this.
Yeah, because we're assuming that the pilgrims, because they were escaping, they were victims. But they also had skills. They were farmers. They were hunters. I mean, these people lived in a little better conditions because there was more of a society established, of course. But to make that voyage and survive that voyage, kudos to them. And then to land in a land unknown, but yet they had their skills. But yeah, it is pretty neat. It is pretty neat how things progress and how our imagination takes over.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people don't know, there's, of the 102 people that were on the Mayflower, only half were what we think of as traditional pilgrims. The rest were just families, or they were called strangers, just as a classification to separate the two groups when you talk about them historically. But they were just hitching a ride to the New World to find a better life also. And this was before anybody else was doing it. A couple groups had come before this, clearly, but... That's the interesting part, is we think of it like, oh, it's this boat and it's just the pilgrims. I mean, no, they made up half of the population, but there were workers and families and people seeking new lives. And so it was kind of a mishmash of its own, but they all kind of went separate ways once they landed.
And of course. Also, because you adapt to different areas and you don't necessarily, like, if you have your cliques.
Yes.
So, you know. Mm-hmm. So I have, do you know, or have you ever heard of the Mother of Thanksgiving? It's a real character, not fictional. It's a real human being.
Yeah. You see them at discos partying with Father Christmas and stuff. They're just ripping up the dance floor.
Yeah. It's a buddy of mine. So Sarah Hale, she was born in the 1700s, late 1700s, and lived for almost 90 some years. And she was a very influential editor and writer who urged President Lincoln to proclaim a national day of Thanksgiving. Like, she was one of the, that's why she's the mother of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
She selected the date because she said the harvests were done, elections were over, and summer travelers were home. So she selected the date because it was the most practical. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I love this because the stories do migrate and change. And she also believed that National Thanksgiving Day will unite Americans in the midst of dramatic social changes that they were undergoing. And literally, the quote says, "Awaken in Americans' hearts the love of home and country, of thankfulness to God, and peace between brethren." So I love how she was such a strong, like, we need to unite America in the best way possible. And guess what she wrote, and everybody knows it.
Oh, I forgot, but I found it as I came across it. It's like,
she actually wrote "Mary Had a Little Lamb," and everybody knows that song.
I called it. I said it right before you said it. What a lot of people don't know, too, when she wrote that, she had been lobbying for this holiday for quite some time. But when she finally caught the ear of Lincoln, it was kind of that moment in time where kind of somebody's activism meets somebody's need. And in 1863, when he finally declared it a holiday, it was actually right in the middle of the Civil War. So that was part of the quote that you gave was her thought even before that, but then it really kind of resonated with Lincoln because he's like, well, maybe this will be an opportunity. And it was in the heart of the Civil War. I think it was like dang smack in the middle. I think 63, it was like 4 years, and that was year two or whatever it was, but it was right in the middle. It's an interesting kind of coming together of her belief and her drive and then that moment in time and then kind of catching the ear of Lincoln. And yeah, I found that interesting also.
It's like when you have a business, you need the demand and you also need the
supply.
Thank you. Supply and demand. So basically, sorry. I'm like, come for more tips on hashtag not financial advice.
No. Maria does marketing. She doesn't know anything about the economy. She just knows how to really, like, if you guys have watched previous videos, Maria has become the marketer all of a sudden in these episodes. On the other channel, she's the video breakdown person of, like,
the forensics.
What is this fake? She loves the video forensics over on Wild Chats. But on this channel,
I'm changing my hats.
All about marketing for her.
I don't know why.
Not marketing the channel. We get into facts, and then her take on it is marketing. Like, oh, well, if you did this to do that, that's what we're talking about when we say marketing. Let's see. Since we're talking about marketing, I'm going to go to supermarkets. Ooh. And it's against the law for supermarkets, department stores, and other big box stores in Rhode Island, Maine, and Massachusetts to be open on Thanksgiving, which I think is great because there was a point in time where Black Friday had moved into, instead of like 5 a.m. in the morning, like it was 7 a.m., then 5 a.m., then 3 a.m., then midnight. Then they started doing Black Fridays right after Thanksgiving meals because they're like, well, after you've eaten, there's nothing to do. And then, I don't know, maybe the logic was it gives you a reason to leave your family's house if you don't want to be there. Oh, I got to get on the Black Friday, so I got to go. I'm sorry, I got to go.
Oops.
But I thought that was a little too early. Once they started starting the Black Friday sales on like 7 p.m. on Thursdays, I was like, okay, we've gone too far.
Yeah, that's not right.
We got to wait in line to get the good stuff, which means you would want to get there at like 2. Now you're missing Thanksgiving to stand in line to get whatever item it is you wanted that was on super sale.
I've only done Thanksgiving shopping, like Black Friday, once in my life.
Okay.
At 11 a.m. And I was like, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not.
Yeah. It's
just that was my take on that.
Yeah, unless you get the good stuff. I remember going to places and it's like, I got here 2 hours after. I'm not getting the super sale, and you have to deal with all the people because, you're either all in or all out. That's how Black Friday goes in my mind.
So the people in the Virgin Islands and United States territory in the Caribbean, beautiful place, by the way, they actually have two Thanksgivings. They have the national holiday and the Hurricane Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
Hurricane Thanksgiving Day happens every October 19th. And is there, if there have not been any hurricanes, which, oops.
Okay.
And Hurricane Day is held and the islanders give thanks that they were spared.
Okay.
So this year, don't worry about it. We are not celebrating Hurricane Thanksgiving.
Unfortunately, it was a rough hurricane season already. Let's see. I have to figure out which one I want to go with here. I'm going to finish off my thought from the previous. So, because this is a myth that I actually used to repeat. So I'm gonna nip it in the bud right now.
Do it.
There's a myth around Black Friday, basically the day after Thanksgiving. I'm assuming everybody knows what Black Friday is, but we never said it. So day after Thanksgiving, all the sales usually on that Friday. There used to be a myth that said it was called Black Friday because that was the first day of the year that most businesses went from being in the black to being in the red, like profitable, essentially. Which
red is non-profitable, black is profitable.
But basically, yeah, sorry, I got it reversed. But it doesn't, if you think about it logically, it's like, okay, so your profit is only 6 weeks out of the entire year, 7 weeks, whatever it breaks out being. And then I try to rationalize, I'm like, well, maybe if you're like, considering your costs for the whole year and it's just pure profit at that point. Cause like if you average it out, No. Basically, it's just a myth. So everybody stop repeating it. Because moving out of the red and into the black. Yes, Maria, you're right. I'm sorry. I got this. Every once in a while, guys, I get things a little flipped around.
That's okay. That's what we're here for.
That was one of those times. All right, Mar, what do you got?
But I thought there was another reason why it was called Black Friday. There was another reason. I just don't remember what it is.
I read the history of it, and it just wasn't really that compelling to me. So it was just more for me about squashing the myth. But I also think it's because I've been perpetuating that myth because I used to repeat that exact same thing. And then
I did too.
You guys ever do that? Really, like you think you know what a fact, and you just been saying it forever, and then you find out it's not true, and you're just like, not only am I an idiot, I just disseminated idiot information to other people. That's basically how I was feeling. So I wanted to make sure I nipped that in the bud.
You redeem yourself for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And then I'm doing it on public forums. So basically I get to like reverse my bad information karma. Yeah, there you go.
I actually find that so incredible. And honestly, to me, being able to say things like what you just said is such a pleasure because we have been so conditioned to believe X, Y, and Z. And once we realize like, no, if you do your research, you would realize that the world is not as it was portrayed or that philosophy was right in the 70s, but new research has found something else. And I love when that happens because science, history uncovers every day, like nothing is really written in stone, literally. So it's kind of fun to be like, yeah, that was the belief back then, but now we have new information that
okay.
So there are other festivals around the world. And if you know me, you will always notice that I will always talk about superstitions and other festivals around the world. That's just my favorite thing. But there was a festival of the Roman goddess of grain. Her name was Cerealia. Sounds like cereal. And it was celebrated on autumn, October 4th. And it's also called the Autumnal Festival. So that October, was also... Yeah. Mm-hmm. And remember, our cultures keep dragging things from the past.
Yeah.
But there's also Korean Thanksgiving. It's called Chuseok. I'm sure I butchered it and I apologize. Chuseok. And it's a major holiday in Korea and it's based on the lunar calendar. So it's the eighth month of the lunar calendar. Like they have the 15th day of the eighth month of the lunar calendar. Mm-hmm. So... it lasts 3 days and is like most harvest festivals. It has reunions, meals. They actually do very similar to the Day of the Dead. They go and honor the those who have the ancestors. They go and clean the graves and get it all nice and going. They play games. They seem to have a lot of fun for those celebrations. And it's common to give attractively boxed gifts. A popular food.
Okay. All right. I have two quick ones I want to get in before we kind of kick out of here. So along the lines of myths, tryptophan in turkey is not actually what makes you sleepy. It's the basically pretty much think it's the overload of carbohydrates mixed with a little bit of booze. When you eat that much, you're going to be tired regardless. It's not the tryptophan. And Jingle Bells was actually written as a Thanksgiving song, not a Christmas song. And if you think of the lyrics, it makes sense. It was back in 1857. So all along the East Coast, there were sleigh races. We think sleighs, we think reindeer, and we think Santa's sleigh. But sleigh races in general were a common thing on the East Coast at that point in time. So that doesn't necessarily date to the song, put it in the place of Christmas. It was actually written as a Thanksgiving song. There's a little more into it, too, about the guy who wrote it. And then, like, his brother was a pastor, asked him to write a song for, like, a play or something. So then basically that's what it was created for originally, and then it just kind of turned into a Christmas song after that. Marty, you got any more fun ones you want to share before we head out?
I just said the gobble gobble is associated with turkeys, but male turkeys actually have very unique way of talking to each other. So it's not gobble gobble. Everybody has different. And Thanksgiving turkey pardon began with Abraham Lincoln when he informally started the practice because he pardoned his son's turkey, his pet turkey, mm-hmm. in 1863.
Were they going to eat the turkey? I read that and it wasn't, I'm like,
He said he pardoned it. He didn't want to eat it.
Well, it's just, you're talking about Coolidge and raccoons, and then we had deer. So I don't know. I never really got exactly when turkey became the the traditional Thanksgiving food, because it definitely was not at the first Thanksgivings. That's definitely a myth and misnomer. But that would be interesting to look up. When did like the turkey become more of the commonplace? We know it was at least by 1953, because Swanson had entirely too much of it. But prior to between 53 and Lincoln creating the holiday in what did I say, 68, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
18, obviously. I don't know when turkey became like the animal. So if you guys know, actually, that would be.
I bet you that was a good marketing campaign.
You guys want to share it in the comments below when, if you guys know or if you found it, when did turkey become the known food or the common thought of food for Thanksgiving? I talked about deer. Maria talked about raccoon. Lincoln pardoned his son's turkey, but I don't know that that was like it was ever planned to be a meal. I think it was might have just been a thing. And then what was it? Franklin wanted the turkey to actually be the national animal of the United States instead of the bald eagle.
I read about that.
Yeah, they're not the smartest animals on the planet, but
I don't know, they're really cool. But yes, I think an eagle is a way better way to go.
Yes, I thought so too. I thought so too. Let's see, do I have any other more fun ones before we go? We got Miss, we got Jingle Bells, we got Tryptophan. Oh, little hack for you guys, if you want one. For Thanksgiving, if you're trying to get a bunch of cooking done at once, you can peel your potatoes, and to keep them from turning brown while you're preparing everything else, like Thanksgiving cooking can be like hours throughout the day. So if you peel a potato and you leave it for like 2 hours, it'll start to brown. But you can put them in water, like submerge them in water and then add a splash of vinegar or lemon juice and then just keep them in the fridge. And then if you need to get to them several hours later, they'll be there ready and not an odd color of brown that you would not want to see.
Yep. And also if you add a little bit of salt, they will absorb it. So the potatoes will have more flavor.
Okay. So I'm going to teach you how to keep them good. Marie's going to teach you how to make them taste good. So hers is probably the better of the two. Do you have any more potato cooking hacks or tips or Thanksgiving turkey tips, or you deep fry a turkey, splash fast and run away? Like, do you have anything that you've used or heard over the years, Maria?
No. I found out why apparently who coined the Black Friday. I actually have it here on my facts.
Okay.
So really quickly, the day after Thanksgiving is not because of profits, but was originally coined by traffic cops in Philadelphia to describe the disastrous traffic conditions.
Okay.
That's what I got here that I found out.
So if you guys, I've told the story on the other channel before, but if you guys ever visit Colombia for some reason, the country, not the city, and your taxi
driver. There is no city of Colombia.
And your taxi driver is just constantly just going, rah, 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 taco, rah, rah, taco, taco. He's not hungry. He's not talking about wanting to get food. That's actually the slang word for traffic in Medellin. So that's what that means. Since we were on the subject of traffic, I figured I would share one actual parallel fact. Mar, I don't have any quizzes for you on this particular episode like we usually do, other than just some other countries that celebrate Thanksgiving, but they're all harvest festivals, and I felt like, not as exciting. You got anything for me?
Because I already shared that. No, we actually already talked about the questions I have for you. You kind of answered them with things you and I had.
So if this happens to be your first show for some reason, guys, usually at the end of the show, what we do is as we're going through finding facts that we like, if we find anything that has kind of a Family Feud feel or a Jeopardy feel, we like to ask the other person just to see if they know the answer. And then sometimes we research in the same places, so we actually do know the answer. But it's the audience's opportunity more than anything else. If you guys watch Family Feud,
is the thrill of screaming at the
yes, exactly. Like, oh, how do you not know that? And then if you actually don't know, we usually give the other person hints to get there, so we get to kind of interact and have a good time. Once we start doing live chats, I think that those quiz sections are going to be a lot of fun too, because then everybody can kind of chime in on the side. But probably won't start live streams for quite a little bit. Once people get used to the format. But thank you guys so much for joining us. Please do us a favor, click the subscribe button if you haven't already. helps us get our content out to everybody. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.